Johnson Production Group presents A woman wearing a dress plunges into the water.
That's me, Zuri Brown. My life was beautiful. I had a career I loved, supportive family, loyal friends, a good man. I had it all, and I didn't even know it. Now, sit back and watch as I torch it all.
As curtains burn behind it, the title appears, Greed, a Seven Deadly Sins story. A woman in her early 30s drives her car through a wealthy suburb. Glancing in the rearview mirror, she applies lipstick.
You are smart, ambitious, and talented. You've built your business from scratch, girl. Your portfolio is banging, and you have delivered for every single client you've ever had. This is just a bigger room, a bigger house, with a bigger budget.
Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions."
You got this.
Ugh, wish I would have studied my Bible more.
A man in his 60s stands in the kitchen, taking a whiff of sauce simmering on the burner.
Yes.
Walking with a cane, the man with close-cropped silver hair walks through his rustic bungalow. Passing wooden wall paneling, he enters his living room. Walking to the open window, he watches a young man pushing a lawnmower across the lawn.
Step on, zigzagging all over my lawn.
Now don't be getting creative on it. My lawn's not your canvas.
What's that, Mr. Brown?
Stefan looks over.
Don't play with me, Stefan. Straight lines.
Yeah, I got it, Oscar. Just 10 more minutes and I'll be finished. There's something I want to talk to you about before Zuri gets here.
I'm all ears.
What's that?
I said I'm all ears.
Huh?
I am all...
Smiling, Stefan puts a hand to his ear before returning to his mowing.
Punk.
Shrugging, Oscar turns away from the window.
Old man.
The young woman drives up to an opulent brick mansion. A well-dressed woman watches her approach through her window.
Yeah, I've been trying to reach you. We've got a problem.
I hear you, Rochelle. Godfrey and I are working on a solution as we speak. In fact, she's just pulling in right now.
Glad to hear that. We've been bringing in a lot of cash.
We've made how much?
More than double what we projected.
Already? So what's the problem?
Viv, I'm talking
six figures of Medicaid billing that we need to funnel immediately. The longer it stays in company accounts, the more attention we attract with the IRS.
Half the residents we're claiming on are already ghosts.
I must say, I've had worse problems than making too much money.
It's a problem if there's nowhere to hide it.
What about Don?
Rochelle walks through the retirement home.
Adding the invoices for landscaping the grounds of Sunnymead were
great. We could use this firm again to...
Don isn't a friend we can trust anymore.
So I,
sever ties.
But we need to move the money. I can't keep it for much longer.
Rochelle, I am already two steps ahead on this.
Just make sure you keep it moving on your end, okay? Okay, let's talk about it later.
Yeah, I'll call you back.
Rochelle taps the window of a snoozing security guard. The man wakes up. The young woman rings Viv's doorbell. The massive wooden door opens. A stiff, bearded butler appears.
Zoe Brown.
Hi, I'm here to meet with Miss Anderson.
Yeah, I'm quite aware. Miss Anderson's been held up on a call. She sends her apologies. Follow me. Take you through to the drawing room.
Zuri, her long hair tied in cornrows, stumbles across the threshold in her heels.
Ow.
Careful. The floor was polished just yesterday.
Right. Thanks for the heads up.
The large, dark-stained door creaks to a close. At Oscar's house, the man who'd been mowing the lawn brings two beers.
Another one of my paintings just sold at that gallery downtown I told you about.
Oh, yeah? So you get enough to quit your day job?
They sit on the couch.
Nah, I still gotta work that construction gig for now. It's a nice sale and all, but I'm not exactly Gehinder Wiley. He's an artist. Did that Obama portrait.
Gotcha.
But I did earn enough for this.
Reaching into a pocket in his jeans, Stefan produces a red velvet jeweler's box. He hands it over to Oscar, who opens it and looks at a ring inside.
It's beautiful.
It's barely a carrot. Designed it myself. You think she'll like it?
She'd be a fool not to.
I knew that this wouldn't feel right without your blessing. You're the only family she's got.
I think of you as a son already.
Thank you for trusting me.
Meanwhile, Zuri walks with Viv into a large drawing room.
I was thinking, right here, a fresco.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, like in some of the European houses.
Zuri pours over blueprints and floor plans.
You know, some of the big firms submitted design proposals. And they were all the same. Stay. Mm. I mean, girl, I'm old, not dead. But when I saw the adorable nursery you did for Annabelle Cartwright's granddaughter, I demanded your number on the spot.
Thank you. I went to college with her daughter, Laura, so it just felt really special to help her get ready to be a mom.
Zuri walks over to a tall wooden bookshelf.
Wow. You have such an amazing library. I love to read, too.
Yeah. Books showed me the world, possibilities. A gift close to my heart, a gift I'd like to share with others.
Viv picks up an autographed paperback book called Envy from a side table.
Read this?
Zuri shakes her head.
Here. Borrow it.
Zuri takes it, then looks over Viv's shoulder.
You know, right here could be a reading nook. Upholstered in velvet, a touch of damask, but nothing too heavy. We want to keep it fresh and feminine.
Zuri's smile fades quickly as Viv peers down at Zuri's plans, spread out all over the long coffee table.
I love all of your designs and ideas, so I'm going to commission you. So let's start in the drawing room and we'll see where we go from there.
How quickly did you want this turned around? The budget allowed for a little bit of fat, but I'm sure I could crunch the numbers and make it...
Don't worry about budget. Just get me the best of everything. Let's have some tea. And when I say tea, I mean the kind that comes in a bottle and a popping cork.
Viv leads her out.
That sounds wonderful.
Later.
Okay. To health, wealth, and happiness. And throw pillows.
As a servant leaves them a tray of tea and biscuits, they clink their flutes of bubbly, then sip.
Has this house always been in your family?
Girl, I grew up in a shack in Nowheresville, Georgia.
Really?
Really.
So then your husband?
No, never married. I was about your age when I made a vow to live life on my own terms.
Wow.
You have a man? Kids?
No kids, but I have a man. Stefan. We've been together for 3 years.
Well, what does Stefan do?
He's an artist.
Oh, would I know?
He graduated from Pratt, so very talented, but, you know, the art world is tough to get into, so right now he does construction.
Right now? Turns into a couple of more months, turns into a couple of more years, turns into a lifetime.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Has anyone ever told you to work smart, not hard? It's okay to want more.
Viv serves Zuri a small pastry.
Here. Had my chef make this especially. Macarons.
Taking the plate, Zuri bites into the small cookie-shaped treat.
There goes my paleo.
Forbidden fruit always tastes the sweetest, dear. Eat up.
Smiling, Zuri takes another bite. Later, Zuri returns to Oscar's house.
You're the one who's making the money now.
Sure.
Hey!
Oh.
Hey!
Tossing her bag on the kitchen counter, Zuri walks to the dining room.
Hey, hey!
Stefan and Oscar sit at the dinner table.
I got the gig.
Yes!
Oh!
Congratulations, baby.
Oh. Thank you.
Let me fix you a plate.
Please sit down. I don't need you running after
Come
me.
Come on.
I'm not hungry. I had afternoon tea with Miss Viv.
Mm-hmm. Afternoon tea, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So who's Miss Viv and what's the gig?
She has this incredible house in Baltimore, and she's commissioned me to do the drawing room.
The drawing room? What, is she from Mars?
No, she's from the South. Self-made. Owns a chain of care homes.
Hmm.
Well, maybe she got a little spot here for Oscar.
Maybe she's got a son for Zuri.
Okay, yeah.
If all goes well with the drawing room, She'll commission me to do more rooms, and trust me, there's plenty. You know, with the extra money coming in, Daddy, I was hoping that maybe I could help out a little bit more. Maybe get you a nurse.
I'm fine. I will not have you spending money
but
on
Daddy,
me.
Daddy, we could maybe get a chairlift.
I said, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah? Right?
Okay.
She collects dishes.
No, you're always doing... Oh, Lord.
Thanks, baby.
Walking to the kitchen, Zuri spots a photo of her younger self, spawning a flashback. Zuri, as a little girl, stands in the schoolyard watching other girls play hopscotch. A taller girl walks up behind her, poking a finger in a hole in Zuri's tattered purple sweater. Zuri instinctively recoils as the girl skips away. Back in the present, in a Baltimore classroom, several people sit in groups around circular tables. A sign nearby reads, Baltimore Literacy Foundation. Zuri sits at one of the tables, listening as a bearded man in his 60s reads to her.
Okay, try this next one.
I want to go up in a bull.
Sound it out, Russ. You're doing great.
Balloon. Balloon. Oh, balloon.
Boom. You got it.
I can't read, but even I know this book is as boring as hell.
A man sitting across the table says,
Russell, I can't wait to loan you some books from my collection. I think you'd love Iceberg Slim.
Sounds like a rapper.
He's a novelist. Was a pimp, but mad smart. You know, his books are real gritty, all about street life and hustling and all that.
Sorry
type of stuff.
To interrupt, but we've got a visitor. Please extend a warm welcome to Godfrey Anderson. He's just been appointed to chair our board of trustees.
Godfrey wears an impeccable tailored suit as he addresses the room.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you guys for letting me be a part of your session this evening.
Godfrey, could you tell us a little about yourself?
Let's see. Aside from being the newly appointed chair of the Baltimore Literacy Foundation, which I'm really excited about, I chair a few other nonprofits. I have several other businesses, which keeps me very, very busy. Downtime. I love to cook.
A woman at Zuri's table says,
cook for me any day.
Girl, stop.
Thank you, Godfrey.
Yeah, but how about y'all? I mean, you're taking this step to empower yourselves, and that just uplifts the entire community. I'm in awe, really. Thank you. Thank you.
Tyrone, I was hoping you could share your story.
The young man at Zuri's table stands up.
Tyrone, most of y'all know me. Born and bred right here in Baltimore. Lakewood Heights. Long story short, my mom died when I was real young. I bounced around group homes and ended up dropping out of school. Got caught up in some bad stuff and wound up doing a bid. I was 19, couldn't read or write. The Baltimore Literacy Foundation were running some courses at the Penn. And after I got out, they welcomed me to this community and I never looked back. With the help of Zuri, Rima, Charles, and other volunteers, I got my literacy up to a level where I could enroll on a GED course. So I went to night school, graduated.
4.0 GPA.
Zuri smiles at Godfrey.
So after a year of community college, everyone here encouraged me to apply to other colleges. They said if I got in, they grant me a scholarship. So I did. And next semester, I'm transferring to Morgan State College.
Clapping and nodding his head, Godfrey casts Zuri an astonished look. Sparks fly as she smiles. Elsewhere, Stefan works on a large oil painting in his apartment. He picks up his phone.
You have one new message. Hey, we got out late. I'm not gonna have time to make it home and change. I've got a dress and I'm changing in the car, but I need shoes. Can you bring me a pair? Just pick any pair you like. I'm wearing a black dress, so you can't go wrong. Love you.
Meanwhile, in the parking lot of the Literacy Foundation, Zuri struggles in the back seat of her car to pull on her dress. Walking over to her car, Godfrey raps on the window.
Oh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I was talking to some people from the group, and I saw you walk by, and damn, you walk fast. But I saw you get in the car, but I never saw you leave, and I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. You look really... really good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable.
No, I'm fine. I'm on my way to a dinner, and I
didn't have time to go home and change, and I just had a dress in the car.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Zuri.
Zuri, I know.
They shake hands.
I'm Godfrey.
Godfrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So nice. Look, so how long have you volunteered there?
Off and on since college.
Really?
Karima and Charles are like family now. I just love being a part of it. How did you hear about us?
Well, I escorted my cousin to a fundraiser a few months back. I met some members of the board, and here we are. I'm surprised I didn't see you there, because I would have definitely remembered you.
Only the bigwigs get invited to those events, not us lowly volunteers.
Really?
He pulls out a card.
Well, that changes as of now. In fact, we're having an event in a few days, and after seeing Tyrone, I'm more determined to pull in as much support as we can.
Yeah.
That's my direct contact right there, and you can drop me an email or a text.
Thank you.
Yeah. And feel free to invite your partner, your friend.
Where's it going to be?
It's actually at my cousin's house. She's redecorating, and between you and me, I'm sensing a strong motivation to help a great charity and an equally strong motivation for her just to show off her swag.
So. I'm actually an interior designer. You wouldn't happen to know who's doing the revamp, would you?
She found someone through her friend's sister's cousin's something. It had something to do with a nursery she saw.
Wait. Is your cousin Cassandra Vivian Anderson?
The one and the same. You know her? What? You're the decorator.
I'm the decorator.
You're the decorator.
Yes. Miss Viv is amazing.
Wow. Yeah, she's a powerhouse, but what beautiful synchronicity.
Really?
Well, look, I know you got to get to your dinner, and please make sure you come to the fundraiser.
I'll see you there.
I insist.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Sometime later, Zuri pulls her car into a driveway outside a multi-car garage. Getting out, wearing her blue blazer over her black dress and sneakers, she texts on her phone.
Hey, babe.
Carrying a bag, Stefan kisses her.
Get the shoes?
We got dinner at 8 and you running from the cops at 10.
We gonna be all right.
He produces a clear plastic high-heeled shoe.
You're clowning me, right?
You told me to grab a pair of light.
Stefan, these were never meant to see the light of day outside of our bedroom. And that was a one-time thing.
Because you look good in them. And you told me you were wearing a black dress. And so I thought...
You thought that I would want to go to a birthday dinner from my best friend's doctor husband dressed like I just left Magic City. Stefan, what were you thinking?
Reaching into the bag, he pulls out black dress heels.
I got you.
That's not funny.
You're gonna be all right.
As she slips into the shoes, she smiles.
You play too much. Thank you.
Inside, they're led by a woman to a stately dining room with a large fireplace burning nearby. A cheerful, bearded man in his 40s emerges from the kitchen, serving guests already seated.
Everyone, this is Zuri and Stefan.
Hey.
Clifton, Josh, hey. Rita, and Marla.
Hi.
Zuri and Audra were roommates in college.
Oh.
Zuri, I'm sure you see a few familiar faces here.
Yes, so sorry we're late.
Zuri and Stefan are seated as Audra sits at the head of the table.
Dive in, everybody.
Later, Clifton addresses the group.
We do our company retreats there every year.
It's just how you would have imagined it.
Incredible beaches.
Bring the wife and kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Even better on the company dime.
Stefan jumps in.
My folks are actually from the island.
Have you been?
One of these days. The holiday fun always seems to end up turning into something like the rent fund.
That's not true. We should celebrate the paintings you just sold.
You're an artist.
That's what they tell me on the building site.
Yes, he is an artist. He has some pieces right now at the Araminta Webster Gallery.
Yeah, everyone, meet my publicist.
Hey. Sculpture, paintings?
Oil on canvas.
He just got a review that said he's like Basquiat meets Monet.
My work can be a little abstract, sure, but that article's lazy. What I like about oil and canvas is the...
Yeah, but the painting sold for like $3,000. Maybe Basquiat meets Monet isn't such a bad thing, babe. You know? Finally hang up the hard hat and high vis. Start making some real cash.
Stefan drops his fork as Audra breaks the uncomfortable silence.
Who's ready for dessert?
Marla pipes up.
You know, my firm's refurbishing offices. We're looking for some artworks. Maybe I could get your card.
Yeah, I don't have a card, but I could give you my number. I'd love to show you some of my pieces.
Here, take mine. He's way too laid back about these kinds of things.
I'll make it happen.
Yeah, what can I say? My girl has a lot more hustle than me.
He glares at Zuri, who reaches for her glass of red wine. Later, they return to their small but funky two-level apartment.
Ugh, you're no fun.
Cut it out, Zuri. I'm not in the mood.
What do you mean, not in the mood?
She takes off her jacket.
What was all that stuff about at dinner?
What? What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. What, are you my agent now?
Why are you so mad? Honey, I'm just proud of you.
You're the exact opposite of proud.
Why do you always have to act so humble, huh? Just fake it until you make it, Stefan. Anyone would think that you don't want to be successful.
Yeah, well, maybe I don't define my success by the amount of zeros in my bank balance.
Well, it's a good thing you don't.
You humiliated me at dinner.
You graduated from one of the top art schools in this country. You're not humiliated working at a building site.
Lately, all you talk about is money and how you can get more of it.
It's called ambition.
Nah, it's called being a fake-ass wannabe. And you know what? It's ugly as hell. I'm sleeping down here tonight. Enjoy the bed.
As Stefan settles into the couch...
Hi.
Zuri picks up her jacket and heads for the stairs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan leans back, rubbing his eyes.
Okay, Rochelle, what is this all about?
I just got off the phone.
Godfrey sits in Rochelle's office.
It is getting too hot. They're investigating Willowbrook Residential right now. I spoke with a friend of mine who works there, and she says you can't move for auditors who are looking everywhere and at everything, and they're clean.
Medicaid billing accounts for, what, 45% of our revenue?
I'm not going to jail for you or anybody. Don't get greedy, Godfrey.
We have to make up the deficit.
Impossible. You can't...
Can we try, Rochelle? Look, we can put our contracts up for tender. We can tell the existing service providers that, hey, your competition, they're coming in cheaper than you. We can cut back on staffing costs, Rochelle, but we need capital.
We're stretched to breaking, Godfrey.
That's how I know you're gonna make it work. Mm-hmm. You will make it work. And we'll meet again next week, and you will update me on your progress.
Godfrey storms out. As he charges toward the exit, he rams into one of the retirement home's nurses.
Sorry.
The nurse approaches Rochelle's office door.
Come in, Pat. Have a seat.
Pat sits down.
You're still here. Your shift finished an hour ago. You know we don't pay unauthorized overtime.
I know. One of my residences was upset. I wanted to make sure she was okay before I left.
So, what can I do?
The paperwork with several of my Medicaid clients doesn't add up. Look, right here, we're billing for hospice care and a bunch of tests they don't need.
Pat, I've worked in residential care for well over 30 years.
I thought I should bring this to you. It doesn't add up.
Well, I appreciate concern, but what I'm saying is that I'm sure it's simply been an administrative error. Nothing to cause alarm. Leave the paperwork with me, and I'll look into it, okay?
Okay.
Pat stands to leave.
Should I close the door?
No, I have an open door policy.
Leaving, Pat's face darkens. Rochelle picks up her phone. That evening, Audra and Zuri wear dresses and costume masks at Miss Viv's fundraiser.
What an amazing client to land. You have arrived, Zuri.
Girl, I'm just getting started. You can never have too much.
That's so.
Stefan want to come? Ugh.
He said it wasn't his thing. It's like all we do is fight lately. Anyway, I'm just glad I get to spend time with my girl. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you speak to Marla about him showing his paintings?
Yeah, I'm working her. He'll get a shot.
Godfrey looks over the party from the staircase.
Good evening, Baltimore. Can I have your attention, please? That's right, come on in. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. It's really great to see so many familiar faces hidden behind masks. But all jokes aside, we are here to highlight the work of the Baltimore Literacy Foundation. Tonight, you can save lives. Every cent will go towards uplifting individuals in our city so that they too can become their best selves. Each one teach one. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Godfrey walks down the stairs to join Audra and Zuri.
Zuri, I'm glad you came.
Great speech. Audra, this is Godfrey. Godfrey, Audra.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleasure.
Shall we get a drink?
As they head off, Stefan wanders in wearing a dark blue smoking jacket and a mask. As he looks around, Viv, wearing a green dress with a plunging neckline, spots him.
You look a little lost.
I'm looking for my girlfriend.
Oh, well, maybe I can help you. I'm Cassandra Vivian Anderson. Everyone calls me Miss Viv.
Miss Viv. I'm Stefan.
Oh.
Stefan Gardner. Zuri Brown is my girlfriend.
Oh, the starving artist. Poetry isn't the only thing she has good taste in, I see.
I think I see her. See you.
Catch you later.
Viv looks him up and down as he rushes off.
Way to work the room. Miss Viv did not exaggerate your charm.
What?
Well, I learned everything I know from my cousin. In fact, she's been singing your praises. She flat out instructed me to make sure that I hire you to make my house a home.
Well, Miss Viv is a very smart woman.
I'll have my assistant reach out so we can get the ball rolling.
Stefan appears.
Oh, sir. Can we get some drinks for the ladies? What will it be?
Stefan. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, babe. What a surprise.
Stefan. You're Stefan, the artist. masquerading as a caterer.
I usually get invited to these things to, you know, help the aristocrats feel relevant. I'm here for my girl.
Stefan, Godfrey. Godfrey. Stefan.
They shake hands.
Quite the party.
Look, those donation baskets, they're not gonna fill themselves, so I'll leave you guys to it. Okay. Zuri,
I can't wait to see what you're gonna do at my place.
Godfrey rushes off.
I love this song. Let's go dance.
Stefan follows the ladies into the ballroom. What? The next day, Godfrey's home stands in a wealthy suburb, opulent, yet somehow unwelcoming and stark. A gardener mows the lawn.
Ba-da-ba.
Wearing a snappy plum-colored jacket, Godfrey walks down the stairs, next to which is tucked a huge glass-encased wine storage room. Making his way to the front door, he opens it.
Hi.
Hi.
Zuri enters.
Ooh, houndstooth. I like it. You look amazing.
Thank you.
So...
he closes the door.
I like minimalism, but... this is just Spartan, and I think you can give it some life.
Godfrey, this place is stunning.
Come on, let me give you the tour. But you're gonna have to take them heels off. I can't have you messing up my hardwood floor.
Oh, the floors.
I'm just messing, come on. Let's start at the top. After you.
Later in the tour, they return to the main level.
And most of these wines are Argentine, but I have...
oh, wow.
I have a few that I picked up in Bordeaux that you have to try.
Wow. I'd love to go someday.
Yeah, you should. What would you like to do with this area?
Huh. Probably leopard print and neon? I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
All right, these are just some sketches, but I was thinking for a color palette, maybe browns and beiges for warmth.
Hmm.
And then you could add in a little bit of texture with some authentic raw cowhide, maybe some modern mid-century furniture.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's really amazing.
Good.
And this is your day rate for the month.
A check.
And I think that's enough to make inroads on some of those amazing ideas. Yeah?
Yeah, I think I can make it stretch.
Good.
That evening, Stefan and Zuri are led to a table in a restaurant featuring rustic oddball furniture with Tiffany-style lamps. Stefan helps Zuri into her seat.
Thank you.
As Stefan takes his seat, the hostess leaves them with menus. Settling in, Stefan pulls out the engagement ring in its jeweler's box, taking care to keep it hidden from Zuri.
I feel overdressed.
You look amazing. I told you that already. I'm proud to have you on my arm, jeans and sweats, let alone looking like that.
Stefan looks over his menu. Wearing a blue dress with leafy sparkling inlays, Zuri gazes at hers.
Whoa, order anything you want from the sides, baby. I don't think I can afford the mains.
We can go halves.
I'm just kidding, baby. You know that.
I'm sorry. Really, this is great.
So? How'd it go today? Moneybags like the color?
I keep telling you, his name is Godfrey. And yeah, it was a hit. The room looks great. Oh, did you talk to Marlo about the paintings that she was interested in?
We spoke today.
And?
That was too late. They spent the budget, something about buying out half the Jones Gallery, apparently.
How many times did I say that you needed to move fast on this?
There'll be other opportunities.
How? You know, I pushed Audra to set up that meeting for you. She liked your work, had a lot of office space. You could have made a ton of sales.
We don't know that.
Do you want to work at a building site forever?
This again. I actually like my job.
No, you're coasting. And no matter what I say or do, it's like you don't want to keep up with me.
Keep up? What are we racing towards?
I would like to own a home before having kids. Is that too much to ask? Maybe go on a vacation? Stefan, you are so talented. I just want you to live up to your potential.
They both sit in stony silence as Stefan stuffs the jeweler's box back into his pocket. At George's, Zuri massages her dad's foot.
Ouch! Ooh, it's seized right up.
Daddy, I've told you a million times. Leave the trash. I'll take it out.
You know, I hate having you looking after me.
You're my pops. I want to look after you.
You know, even as a little girl, you always wanted to help. Hmm. You know, looking after the dolls, the cats next door. You know, I always hoped when you grew up that you would find a man to look after you.
Zuri's expression clouds over.
What, baby?
Did you and Mom ever have doubts that you were right for each other?
Well, you know, relationships aren't always sunshine and flowers. We had our rough patches, sure. But I always knew that life would be better with her by my side.
Stefan and I have been fighting a lot lately.
What? Really? What?
We're just so different. He's so laid back, and I've always loved that about him, but we're not in our 20s anymore.
Meaning?
Daddy, you did great, and I couldn't have asked for a better pop, but we struggled. If I have kids, I want to make sure that I can spend time with them, give them opportunities, not work every hour just to make ends meet.
Stefan loves you, Zuri.
I know. But lately I've been feeling less like his woman, more like his mom.
I wouldn't dream of telling you how to live your life, honey. But I raised you to be decent and kind. Don't string anyone along. You hear?
I hear you, Daddy. I do.
The next day at Godfrey's house, Zuri wears a silky pearl-colored blouse with a pleated green skirt and high-heeled boots. Smiling, she plumps pillows and arranges a throw blanket on new, perfectly placed furniture, all arranged in front of the fireplace and wine rack.
Wow.
Godfrey enters.
I mean, completely transformed. I actually want to spend time in this space now.
Well, you work so hard. You deserve to have a beautiful home.
I just don't have anybody to share it with.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Zuri. I'm just a man who pursues what he wants.
You are smart, beautiful, so talented, and loyal. Look, I know that you're trying to work things out with him, and you made that abundantly clear, and I respect that. But I'm saying this as a friend.
He puts his hands on her arms.
Don't settle for a life that you don't want. You have ambition. You have drive. People in your life, they either give you weight or wings. Which one is he? The right man by your side? The sky is the limit with you. Will you fly with me, Zuri? Will you fly with me?
They kiss passionately. Later, in the bathroom.
Hey, Stefan, it's me. I was just calling to let you know that I'm safe, and I'm gonna need to take a couple of days to myself. I'm having some second thoughts about us. I'll call you later.
Zuri gazes at her reflection in the mirror. The next day, the sun shines on downtown Baltimore. Walking upstairs in the apartment she shares with Stefan, Zuri wanders into the bedroom, dressed from head to toe in designer wear. Standing at the foot of their king-size bed, Zuri exhales heavily before sitting on the black-colored comforter. Her gaze settling on a small metal box on the bedside table, Zuri opens it. Inside, she finds Stefan's red jeweler's box.
Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
As she stares at the ring in the box, Stefan walks upstairs, entering the bedroom.
Zuri?
Stefan.
Don't.
I'm sorry.
Keep it. Keep it, really. I've got no use for an engagement ring.
But the money. You could sell it.
Zuri, don't you get it? The money's not important. Never was, never will be.
Zuri wipes away a tear.
No matter what you wear, what vacation you go on, who your clients are, it'll never be enough to keep you from believing that voice inside your head that keeps telling you that you're not good enough. You don't love him. You just love what he can get you.
Her face hardening, Zuri stands up. As she pushes past Stefan, she pushes the jeweler's box into his hand.
I'm out of here.
Shaking his head, Stefan flings the ring across the room. As the gardener works on his lawn outside, Godfrey jumps out of his car. Wearing glasses and a long navy suit jacket, Godfrey strides into the house. He finds Zuri, immaculately dressed in a white blouse, working in an office off the foyer.
Why aren't you ready?
Am I supposed to be somewhere?
She looks at her tablet.
There's nothing on my calendar.
Pack your bags, car's outside. We're going to the Barbados.
You're kidding.
I'm serious.
You're funny.
Come on. I'm serious.
Really?
Let's go do some things in the Barbados. Come on.
Zuri follows him out.
Yeah.
At Westgate Village Retirement Home, Rochelle strides into the staff room where Pat and others sit at tables.
Attention, everyone. As you know, I'm not one to mince words, so here it is. We're cutting everyone's hours at the end of the month. Jeff's going to brief you on the details, and we'll have an all hands between shifts on Friday. I'm sorry. I really am. Board decision.
Pat asks,
is there a cut in workflow too? I know I'm barely getting my tasks done, and I haven't taken a lunch break in over 2 years.
As I said, Jeff's gonna brief you, and as always, I've got an open door, so come see me if you want to talk one-on-one.
Jeff addresses the staff.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jeff. As Rochelle was saying, yeah, I'm going to brief you now on the new policy.
Meanwhile,
thank you.
Zuri climbs into an SUV with Godfrey.
I didn't know what to pack, so
I brought everything.
Okay.
The driver loads the luggage.
So, I have another surprise for you. You are now a member of the board of the Baltimore Literacy Foundation.
What?
I just need you to sign right on that line. Right there. If you accept, of course.
Really?
Really. And this way you get an actual voice.
I love that you are always looking for ways to help me grow.
This is going to give your credentials some real weight and appeal to investors as we expand Zuri Design and all the other spinoffs. So, are you in?
Of course I'm in.
She signs.
And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words.
That's my girl. Let's go.
Zuri beams. In their Barbados hotel room, Godfrey and Zuri wear bathrobes.
Want to try it out?
Reaching over, Zuri hands Godfrey her cross pendant necklace, which she has worn every day prior.
That's true.
Pocketing her pendant in his bathrobe, Godfrey places a new diamond encrusted necklace around her neck.
And it's beautiful.
It is.
Leaning over, Godfrey kisses her tenderly. Later, on a couch, Zuri lies contentedly in Godfrey's lap.
This is the life I always dreamed of.
This is the life you deserve.
He kisses her forehead.
And more. Let me show you.
He pulls out his phone.
I just bought these. I'm expanding the company.
More retirement homes.
I'm so proud of you.
And you will get the contracts for the interiors, of course. My CFO is handling the finances. The competitor just came in with a better offer. And we need to match it by the end of the week, or else the deal's off.
What are you gonna do?
Well, I was hoping you could help.
Me?
Yeah, you. As a member of the board, you can co-sign for the release of funds for capital.
Zuri sits up.
Is that why you got me on the board? For this?
Zuri, I got you on the board because you deserve it. I'm just sorry nobody saw it sooner. I wanted you to grow.
Why can't you use your own money? Hey, is something wrong?
Baby, look around. Do I look broke to you? Look, we're already in the process of selling off some real estate to raise capital, but that's gonna take months. We gotta move now.
But what if you lose the money?
I've been investing money for a long time, and your man is very good at what he does.
How long before you put it back?
Just a few days. That's all. I'll buy the homes, and you get a contract that's gonna take your company to six figures. Secure your future, Zuri. Our future, baby. The foundation is going to have enough funding to put kids to college for the next 10 years. So what do you say? Fly with me, partner?
You promise it's just a couple of days?
Godfrey offers up his pinky.
I promise.
Linking her pinky with his, Zuri smiles.
Okay.
Deal?
Let's fly, partner.
They begin to kiss. Elsewhere, it's nighttime as EMTs roll Oscar out of his house on a stretcher.
Zuri, your dad was picking up the garbage and had a fall. He's going to the hospital. Where are you?
Walking out of the house, Stefan rushes to Oscar's side.
Hey, big man. Let me take my car and meet you at the hospital.
Stefan looks at the EMTs. He closes the door. Meanwhile, Zuri's phone buzzes as she receives a massage. It's another missed call from Stefan. At the hospital.
You're gonna be all right. The boys just tied it up, right? So we're good.
Zuri's friend enters.
Audra, what are you
doing here?
Suri sent me to take over. She's on the first flight back tomorrow.
No, I told her to stay and enjoy her vacation. I'm fine.
His arm is broken in three places. His blood pressure is a little low and he has a minor concussion. But aside from that, he's fine. Because of his age, though, we're going to keep him overnight for observation.
Yeah, right.
The nurse leaves.
You didn't need to come.
Are you kidding me? Oscar fed me through most of college. It's my pleasure to be here.
That's my girl.
She told me to say thanks.
And smiling, Stefan nods.
All right, old timer. You call me if you need anything. I'm going to come by the house tomorrow and check on you.
Thanks, son.
He leaves.
So how you been?
I've been fine. What did you do?
Oh, I...
Later, downtown.
Girl, the resort was amazing. Godfrey insisted on a seaside view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is up with you? You've been pissy all day.
Nothing's up with me.
Meaning?
It's Godfrey this and Godfrey that. Godfrey didn't even show up at the hospital.
He had a meeting.
And Stefan had a shift that he canceled so he could look after the father of the woman who's just broken his heart. He's putting a brave face on it, but no, not really.
Look, it's just going to take some time.
Get it, Zuri. You're throwing him away just like that?
I'm not throwing anyone away. We're just not compatible.
What happened, Zuri? It was a done deal. That's what you said when you guys moved in together before you were ever married.
Okay. What is your problem with Godfrey?
I don't know.
They pause on the street.
It's like you are different when you're around him.
Just come out and say it.
When did you become so materialistic?
Wow. You have never had to worry about money a day in your life.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's why I can see the only thing that Godfrey has that Stefan doesn't is a couple of bags.
Zuri storms off. Later at home, Nurse Pat helps Oscar stretch his legs.
How dare you?
Right there.
I won't fight you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello?
Oscar, you home?
Ooh. Hello?
Hey, Stefan. Zuri, Oscar's friend.
I'm not home.
Mm-hmm. We're just in the middle of his physical therapy.
Sorry to interrupt. Don't mind me.
Oscar, shall we finish? Just a couple more reps and then we're done for today.
Sure, Pat. Thank you.
She lifts his leg.
Easy.
Stefan glances at a flat screen TV.
That's a nice set.
Yeah. A gift from Zuri. She was here last week. Slick Willie.
She okay?
Well, he didn't stay very long. She bought that. But I'm happy with the old one. Hmm? She seems happy. How about you?
At her house, Viv pedals on a machine with Zuri sitting nearby.
So how's your father?
Better. I've kept Pat on. She's great. His mobility has improved a lot.
Nice watch.
Zuri wears a diamond-encrusted timepiece.
How's business?
Crazy busy with clients. I'm starting a soft furnishings line, and Godfrey is going to set up a meeting with Sizzle. He just bought in the city, but, you know, there's always room for improvement. Viv, thank you so much. Doing this place really got the ball rolling for me.
That's okay. I'll send you an invoice. Or, to be precise, you can send me an invoice.
I don't understand.
Viv produces a sheet of paper.
Send me an invoice for that amount each month from your company, and I'll give you 5% of every transaction. My accountants will handle the books, and we'll forward the money into an offshore account.
Where does the money come from?
Zuri, do you really want to know that? Look around. This isn't dirty money. I'm a businesswoman. And Godfrey is a businessman. Sometimes you have to make a few moves here and there to keep it moving. So are you in or out?
For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Make it 10%.
Miss Viv nods.
When do we start?
Folding up the invoice, Zuri puts it in her bag.
Tyrone Raymond.
At Morgan State Admissions.
How can I help?
I got an email asking me to come and discuss my tuition.
Okay. Can I get your student number, please?
The college administrator asks.
Thank you.
Turning to her computer, the dark-haired woman enters Tyrone's information.
Oh. I'm sorry, but there's a balance in your tuition that hasn't been settled.
It must be a mistake.
Rechecking her computer, she shakes her head.
That's what it's got on my system. Look, you're not going to be able to attend classes until it's resolved. This is suspended for now. I'm sorry.
She hands back his ID card.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Meanwhile, Zuri is on an epic shopping spree. Emerging from a change room, she shows off a yellow coat, paisley top with a green skirt. A salesman looks on as she tries on some glitzy boots with high heels. Next, she tries on rings before picking out some high-priced shoes. Gawking, one pair catches her eye. Charge card at the ready, she stands at the counter selecting fancy jewelry. She's now also driving a black sports car. Emerging from the shops, she's laden with shopping bags. Meanwhile, Pat supervises Oscar walking at home.
Yes, Oscar.
Wait till I show Zuri. Might be I can even walk her down the aisle.
She's getting married. To Godfrey Anderson?
Well, she's hopeful, right? And he seems to be all in. Yes.
As Oscar sits down, Pat takes a seat on the couch.
His family owned the care homes, right?
Something like that. Why, do you know him?
The home I work at is owned by G. Anderson Enterprise.
So what is it you're not telling me?
Every home I've worked at, they squeeze everything they can from you. But that's usual. But there's something about that place that's different. Nothing. Forget it. I shouldn't have said anything.
Wait.
There's nothing to tell. Now, you want to try again?
Sure.
Yes. All right, on your feet, young man.
Elsewhere, Zuri walks through a house with a client.
There's just a couple more things I want to show you.
Okay.
Don't worry, this is going to be hung. So what do you think?
Love it. In fact, I love everything. And I'm notoriously picky.
You? Never.
As they walk through the main floor, the man looks at an abstract painting on the wall.
Who's the artist?
His name is Stefan Gardner. He's an emerging artist.
Later, Zuri sits with Miss Viv in her drawing room.
This is good work. And you're padding the invoices for your clients like I showed you?
You're right. Art works. It's almost too easy.
Yes, I've been doing this a long time. Just watch, listen, and learn.
They share some tea. That evening, Zuri is invited into a home.
Can I get you a coffee? I'm actually okay, thank you.
Have a seat.
The facilitator of the Literacy Foundation shows her to the dining room table.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. I missed you. Tyrone, everyone.
I miss you too, Zuri. I don't recognize you anymore.
It's still me, just in better clothes.
You know what I mean. We've known each other a long time, and underneath all this fake-ass flossing, I'm hoping the Zuri I know and love is still there. So I wanted to give you a heads up.
Okay, if this is about Godfrey...
Damn right it's about Godfrey.
Embezzling the Foundation's funds and Lord only knows who else's? No, you've got it all wrong.
So why won't he hand over the accounts? No one knows what was raised at the last event. I heard it was $2,000 a ticket. 300 guests.
Okay, Miss Viv and Godfrey bankrolled that whole event.
Maybe so, but everyone was there for a cause, and that cause wasn't to line Anderson's pockets. Where's the money, Zuri?
You are making some serious accusations.
When that house burns, Zuri, you're going to burn with it. I'm warning you. Get out now.
I'm gonna do just that.
Zuri strides to the door.
And you know what else? Before the designer clothes and the fancy car, you actually had way more class.
Elsewhere, Zuri and Oscar sit in church.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. He says that bad company influences your character. And I'm standing here like the Apostle Paul did with the Corinthian church. Send come to yourself. Why? Because before you leave here, I want you to know that there is never a bad time to be good. Now, in a few seconds, you're going to get the opportunity to worship the Lord in giving. And what I want you to do is worship the spirit of generosity as our team plays softly. Let's give.
I'm so happy to be here, Daddy.
Thank you for bringing me, baby. So good to spend time with you.
I know, I'm sorry. I've just been so busy.
I didn't want to guilt trip you. I'm just so glad that your business is doing so well.
Smiling, she pulls out a wad of cash.
So, everything okay with Slit Godfrey?
I'm really happy.
You can always come home. You know that, don't you?
I know you don't like him, Daddy, but he's really good for me. He's helped me a lot.
Okay, as long as you know.
Thank you.
Zuri puts her cash into the collection plate. Oscar stares at it as he passes the plate to a man in the aisle.
Where did that money come from?
Zuri's cool demeanor melts away as her eyes fill with tears. Zuri pulls her black sports car up to Miss Viv's mansion. A maid opens the door.
Ah, Mrs. Brown. Miss Anderson did not tell me she was expecting you.
That's because she's not.
Excuse me.
Is she here?
Yeah. I will seek Miss Anderson. Excuse me.
He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live.
Sorry, Mom. I tried to stop her.
No, it's okay, Clayton. Thank you.
As you wish, Mom.
Well, what a lovely surprise. Please, sit.
It's fine. I'm not staying.
Is something wrong?
I just came to tell you that I'm done with the invoicing. From here on out, I'm running a clean business.
I think you're confused, Zuri. You don't get to say when you're done. You wouldn't have a business if it wasn't for me.
That's not true. You opened a lot of doors, but...
I made you. You were nothing but a pawn from Gulp. An insecure, greedy little something. I read you. The minute I laid eyes, click, clacking your way up my drive.
This is ugly. I told you I'm done, and now I'm leaving.
Well, how do you think your clients are going to feel when they find out you've been swindling them?
Zuri freezes, then turns around.
You're in way too deep, and this isn't the movies. You don't get to just walk away.
Miss Viv moves closer. Her steely resolve weakening, Zuri gulps before turning for the stairs. At Oscar's.
He's caught up in some really serious stuff. And I'm mixed up into it too, Daddy. Deep.
There's always a way out.
No. This is a dark hole, Daddy. I don't know how I'm gonna climb out of this.
As Oscar closes his eyes, Zuri takes him by the hand.
You're a grown woman, Zuri. And it pains me to stand by and let you make your own decisions. I was ready for you to come to me. We're gonna figure this out together.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
Together.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
Zuri collapses into his arms. The next day, Pat places cookies on a plate as Oscar enters the kitchen carrying two mugs.
Here we are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Not really. Now, I want you to tell me everything you know about G. Anderson Enterprises and how they run their homes.
I don't know anything for sure.
What do you think you know? Pat, you've been caring for me for a few months now. And I know how you play. If you even have a hunch, then you're likely on to something. And I want all the information I can get to protect my daughter.
Okay.
Good, let's talk about it.
Taking her plate of cookies and mug, Pat follows Oscar out of the kitchen. Elsewhere, in his home, Godfrey lies on his bed, typing a message on his phone. Zuri charges into the bedroom.
Hey, babe, what's up? What?
Tell me it's not true.
She takes his phone.
Out of your damn mind?
The tuition fees. Why haven't they been paid?
That's being handled.
So it's true. You stole the money?
Whoa.
You told me that you were going to put it back right away.
I didn't steal anything.
Then why is everyone acting like the money just disappeared?
It'll clear the foundation's accounts by tomorrow. It should have been today, but I was on a call, and I missed the cutoff time. And I'm the only one that can do the transfer. Remember?
I don't believe you.
Wow. Oh, man. Look.
He holds up his phone.
As promised, with interest.
Zuri takes the phone, looking at it.
By tomorrow, all the students' tuition will be paid for the whole academic year.
Later, they lie in bed.
Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others.
Zuri carefully rises from bed so as not to wake Godfrey. Pulling on a slinky cover-up, she moves out of the bedroom for the stairs. She looks back as Godfrey stirs momentarily but stays asleep. She then walks silently towards Godfrey's office.
Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end, they will prove to be fools.
Finding a box of files, she grabs a folder and lays it open on the desk. On a form on top of the pile, someone has written "deceased" in red pen. Pausing for a moment, Zuri looks toward the stairs. She quickly grabs her phone and starts snapping photos of the various files. The next day, Zuri finds the Foundation's facilitator stacking chairs in the classroom. Zuri knocks on the door. Zuri sheepishly walks into the classroom. Later,
I found out the truth about Godfrey. Turns out G. Anderson Enterprises is involved in some serious shade. Medicaid fraud spanning years and millions of dollars.
Zuri pulls up images on her phone, handing them over.
Look, I have photos of everything. When I leave, I'm taking the documents with me. I'm gonna need a lawyer and a shovel. Take my way out of this one.
You and that dude?
She hands Zuri's phone back.
I honestly didn't know that it was this dark, but I knew that what I was doing was wrong and illegal. I chose to look away. A lot.
Why, Zuri? You fell for him that hard?
No. I think I fell for the princess dream.
Meanwhile, in her darkened drawing room, Vivian walks over to her laptop sitting on her desk. Sitting down, she enters her password, then opens up an online banking app. Typing in Zuri's ID and password, she accesses Zuri's main account, which has a balance of $150,000. Entering her own account number in a quick transfer window, Viv hits enter and wire transfers all of Zuri's money into her account. Zuri's account balance now reads zero. An evil smile crosses Miss Viv's red lips. She pulls out her silver case of cigarillos. Pulling out one of the thin cigars, she lights it up, taking a long drag. Elsewhere, Zuri sits alone in her car, checking her bank balance.
Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle.
Zuri stares at the zero bank balance on her phone. Elsewhere, Pat pulls up to her house in her car, parking in the carport. As she gets out, She opens the back door, retrieving a yoga mat in the back seat, before moving to the front door of her bungalow. A dark figure suddenly appears, striking her across the back of her head. Miss Viv's hulking bearded butler Clayton stands over her body, looking around before walking away. Pat's lifeless body lies still under the beam of her porch light. At his house, Zuri finds Godfrey lying on his couch, texting.
I spoke to Viv today.
Where's my money?
That's not your money, sweetie.
No, I earned that money.
Godfrey puts his phone aside.
Through kickbacks and side hustles? I'd say over half of what's in that account is income generated by me and Viv.
Why are you doing this? Really? I want to know.
Well?
Godfrey sits up.
Because I didn't want you to do anything silly. Because I needed insurance while I clean up this mess.
Nodding tearfully, Zuri crosses her arms.
You know, all this time that we've been sleeping in the same bed is because I truly believed that we were going to be husband and wife. What was I to you?
Standing up, Godfrey faces her.
Zuri, every relationship in my life is transactional. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a use. What did you think? We were just gonna ride off into the sunset like Bonnie and Clyde? You were useful. You were a great way to launder money. I didn't even have to persuade you. I didn't even show you anything of myself that wasn't superficial.
You were ruthless.
Ambitious.
Greedy.
If I'm greedy, so are you.
No. Godfrey Anderson, you are in a league all your own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you are definitely not in my league. I need a real hustler by my side.
He waves her off dismissively. Zuri then charges out of the house. The next day, sitting in front of a fireplace, Zuri meets with the Reverend.
Thank you for seeing me.
Anytime. What's going on?
It has been a steep learning curve. I've betrayed almost everyone who trusts me.
God forgives everything. There's no mistakes, only lessons. But what did you think you were gaining?
Validation.
And you got what?
I lost everything.
Well, it doesn't look like that to me. It seems like we gotta lose the negative mindset. But all the other stuff, it's just stuff. God's working on something for you right now. But you gotta think about what you do have. Redemption.
What if I don't deserve it?
Sir, you're God's child. That alone is what makes you deserving. Let's pray. Come on.
He takes Zuri's hand.
Dear God, protect and guide Zuri with your light. Clear a path in front of her so that she may walk in truth and service. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Zuri and Oscar turn up at the old apartment.
Shh, keep it down. Don't wake the neighbors.
Stefan helps Oscar inside. Zuri hangs back in the hallway.
Look, this room is for the foreseeable, huh, Oscar? You grab the bed, I take the couch.
I'll call you first thing, okay, Dad?
Oscar blows a kiss before heading inside.
Thank you. This is the only place that Godfrey wouldn't know about, so I know he'll be safe with you.
You can stay too, Zuri. Really. You can double up with your pops.
No, I'm okay. I really didn't deserve you. Thanks again.
Zuri heads down the hallway as Stefan closes the door.
Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like wildflower.
Zuri settles in for the night in her car. Meanwhile,
the offshore money is clean. It's the homes where we're vulnerable. The only flaws with billing, and lucrative as it was, is the paper trail. And there's no way around that.
I only see one way out of this. We get out of here. I have passport ready. I got one for you, too.
Get out of here? Like, run?
Yeah.
Run from my home? Run from everything I built? Godfrey, you were raised in privilege. I was not. You don't come from a shack in the woods to a mansion in Baltimore without getting your hands a little grimy from time to time. I see another solution. We get rid of the problem.
Wait, hold up. She's powerless. Fam, she's powerless. She has no money. She has no clients. When we're done, her reputation is going to be in tatters. She can't incriminate us without putting herself in center frame. And I know her. She's way too selfish for that. I've taken care of this. She's done.
And that's a gamble you want to take. What if she does talk? You said for yourself that she didn't have nothing to lose. 35 years in a federal prison. You'll be an old man by the time they let you go. An old, broke man.
Why don't we just talk about this tomorrow after you had a chance to calm down?
Sit your ass down.
Godfrey eases into a leather chair.
Okay. So how do we do this? Do you have someone that you...
Rule number one. We don't trust no one. We take care of this ourselves.
It's early morning. Zuri sits in a diner.
Such are the paths of all those who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Godfrey?
Zuri, are you ready to talk?
I have nothing to say to you.
I have your money. I just took out what's mine.
I earned that money. How dare you put your slimy hands in my pocket?
Look, do you want it or not? I was angry, and you hurt me. You turned on me just like that.
I didn't turn on you, Godfrey. I just didn't want to be part of all the shadiness.
Well, that's what it felt like. Look, I never told you, but Cousin Viv, she raised me. And she's like a sister to me. And I'm very protective of my family, Zuri.
And I lashed out, and I'm really sorry.
By lashed out, do you mean stole my money?
I was always going to give it back. I told you that.
Your money tonight.
You know, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you, Godfrey.
Whatever, Zuri. How long did we sleep in the same bed, huh?
Did I ever treat you with anything less than respect?
Did I ever hurt you?
What about Pat? I know you had her beaten up.
Pat?
Your dad's nurse, Pat?
Why would I do that?
Look, I found that little chain you used to wear.
My mom's cross?
I don't know if it's your mom's cross, but I know it's that little chain you used to wear when I first met you.
Reaching for her neck, Zuri softens.
I'll come by in an hour.
No. Come by tonight, because
it's going to take me a little time to get the money, and I'll have it by 10 p.m.
Look, do what you want, Zuri, but just swing by, get the cash, and leave.
Later that evening, Godfrey emerges from his mansion, carrying a duffel bag as the security gate at the foot of his driveway slowly swings open. Sitting in her car parked at the curb, Zuri stares straight ahead. Godfrey approaches the open passenger window.
Hey.
You can just feed the money through the window.
Zuri, are you for real?
For real.
Here's the necklace.
Here's the money.
Someone approaches, holding a gun.
Viv.
Get out of the car, Zuri. Get out of the car.
Viv, what's the plan?
Shut up.
Viv leads Zuri away from the car.
Viv, what?
I said shut up.
Viv.
Raising her gun, Viv knocks Zuri to the pavement.
Viv, what are you doing?
I'm handling my business. Because if you'd have took care of yours, we wouldn't be here. She already went to the cops, Godfrey. I got an informant who told me so.
Well, why didn't you come to me and tell me when you found out?
She's about to bring down a whole lot of rumble on your head and mine. She got a tip. And you know from who? A nurse who worked for her dad. Now, I had the nurse head off, thinking she'd back up and mind her own. But my God, we're talking about a nurse and a decorator here. Turns out, the nurse worked for Westgate.
His eyes go wide.
Ooh. You didn't notice, huh, Godfrey? Because you never were good with the details. Big picture man, huh? That's you.
She points her gun at him.
You didn't see this in your picture?
Why? Why are you doing this?
Because it's either me or you. Now I really taught you everything I know.
Godfrey kneels over Zuri.
Viv, what you gonna do? You gonna kill me?
No. We're family. I'm not gonna kill you. I'm gonna make it look like you killed your damn self.
She strikes him with her gun. Godfrey lies beside Zuri on the sidewalk. Looking around, Miss Viv crouches over them. Meanwhile, at Stefan's place, Oscar startles awake.
Zuri.
Walking out of the bedroom, he finds Stefan asleep on the couch.
Stefan, wake up.
Oscar, what's happening? What's going on?
It's Zuri. She's not answering her phone.
What time is it?
3:35.
Yeah, that's why she's not answering the phone. Can I get you something? Need some more milk?
Man, the last time I looked, I wasn't 5 years old. Man, I'm telling you, there's something wrong.
All right. Karima gave me Godfrey's address. I'll check on Zuri.
Meanwhile, Viv paces the floor in Godfrey's bedroom. Leaning barely conscious at the foot of the bed, Zuri's eyes flutter open and closed. Viv, putting a finger under Zuri's chin, lifts her head.
Morning, dear. Oh, you're probably feeling a little woozy. Fentanyl. Yeah, I used to be a nurse, remember? It's a very powerful opiate. I put a speck on your tongue and it disappeared just like that. But a speck more, you'd be dead. But what'd be the fun of that?
Viv stands up straight.
Yeah.
Walking to the ensuite, she picks up her lighter and a bottle of clear fluid, tossing them into a laundry basket.
You know, I'm gonna go dramatic for you. Yeah. Let's see.
She carries the basket into the bedroom.
Killed in a house fire after a violent struggle with her ex, who you betrayed. Yeah. Who then put a bullet through his own skull. Bingo. I like that.
Reaching for the bottle in the laundry basket, she squirts the fluid into the basket, then onto the floor and all over the drapes.
I'll be hot in here for you. Somehow I believe you like it hot.
Flicking her Zippo lighter, she tosses it into the laundry basket. It bursts into flames. The fire spreads across the bedroom quickly. Calmly tucking her pistol into her waistband.
Come and get her.
Viv then gets back to work, squirting lighter fluid to the left and right of the bedroom's entrance. Then, glancing towards Zuri, still dazed in the bedroom, she pulls out a cigarillo and lights it up. After taking a puff, she carelessly tosses her lighter to the left side of the doorway. Flames burst to life. Then, she tosses her cigarillo to the right, setting that side of the entranceway alight. Backing out, she closes the bedroom doors. Kneeling at the side of Stefan's bed, Oscar clasps his hands in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for all of my blessings.
Zuri!
Stefan sprints up to Godfrey's house, surrounded by smoke. He kicks through the front door.
Zuri! Zuri!
Thank you. Stefan and his generosity.
Viv sneaks behind Stefan.
Don't turn around. Put your hands wide and see him.
Stefan slowly raises his arms.
And thank you for guiding Zuri back towards the light.
As flames surround her, Zuri crawls across the floor.
And may you continue to watch over her, illuminating her path with love and light.
On her feet now, Zuri stumbles into the bathroom, desperately reaching for a window.
Amen.
The window's too high. Zuri grabs a washcloth, runs water over it, and clamps it over her mouth. Downstairs.
Now how are we gonna do this? Because it needs to look like a suicide. And I sense the reluctance to put the gun in your mouth.
You're a psychopath.
No, I'm a survivor. Are you? I think not. I think that you are a jealous lover who killed his ex-girlfriend and the new man.
Running out of the bathroom, Zuri grabs a candle from the desk and flings it through the flames in front of the large window. Viv still holds a gun on Stefan.
Tell is old as time and good headlines. Now, devil's in the detail.
A bag of fentanyl.
Just a speck of this on your skin and you'll be incapacitated.
Spinning around, Stefan clocks her.
Zuri!
He heads up the stairs.
Zuri!
Meanwhile, Zuri is up on the roof, still holding the cloth against her mouth. Climbing to the edge of the roof, she peers down into the blue waters of Godfrey's illuminated backyard pool. Glancing over her shoulder, she stares at the encroaching flames before taking two steps backwards. Bracing herself, she launches herself into the air, landing in the water below. Submerged with her arms spread wide, Zuri floats, suspended over the bottom of the pool. Meanwhile, Stefan runs out of the house. Suddenly conscious, Zuri fights to the surface of the water. As she swims to the edge, Stefan rushes to her.
Zuri.
Zuri throws herself into his arms.
Zuri. You're safe. I got you.
Later, police and ambulance arrive on the scene.
Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days.
As Godfrey is cuffed and led away, Miss Viv is led out of the house to a waiting cruiser. She glances at Stefan on the driveway.
Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb. And as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands.
Visiting her old bedroom, Zuri sits on the bed holding Godfrey's duffel bag of cash. 6 months later...
Quick! Listen to the news.
At Audra's house.
Baltimore power players Cassandra Vivian Anderson and Godfrey Anderson were convicted today and sentenced to a life sentence and 25 years respectively for their part in murder, fraud, and embezzlement across a number of businesses spanning decades. Cassandra Vivian Anderson was implicated in the execution of Baltimore businessman Don Jackson. A number of whistleblowers came forward to authorities. Back to you.
Later.
Yes, I was just calling to confirm that you received the final repayment. Great. And thanks again for your patience and understanding. Okay, bye.
Stefan steps into Zuri's new designer workspace.
So is this a job interview, audition, what?
Thanks for coming.
They sit down.
There's never anybody here on the weekends, and I'm still at my dad's. This is a conversation that I wanted to have in private.
What's done is done. You don't need to do a postmortem.
I know, but you do deserve an apology. I am so sorry. Stefan, I was just so dissatisfied with myself and what I thought I should have that I lost sight of who I was and who you are. You're smart, funny, kind, And I had to have been out of my mind to have lost sight of that for even a second.
Stefan shrugs, then stands up.
Sorry I put you on the spot. I'm sorry that I made a fool of myself. But I just needed to get that off of my heart, Stefan. So, thank you.
Stefan turns to leave, then pauses.
You wouldn't happen to know about this big order from Sizzle? He says his decorator turned him on to my work?
I don't know anything about that. You deserve to be happy, and I want that for you above everything. And I hope that you find a woman that can love you the way that you deserve.
Zuri turns away to hide her tears. Stefan takes a step towards the door, then stops and takes off his hat. He plants a passionate kiss on Zuri's lips. Holding each other in their arms, they share a contented smile. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth bribes shall live. Proverbs 15:27. Cast: Zuri Maxwell, Monique Coleman, Stefan Gardner, Nathan Witt, Godfrey Anderson, Eric Benet, Cassandra Vivian Anderson, Lisa Ray McCoy, Oscar Maxwell, Joe Costa. Casting by Judy Lee. Production designer Jordan Ninkovich. Director of photography Mike Cam. Edited by Devin Taylor. Music supervisor Terry Washington. Music by Mario Vera. Supervising producer Oliver DeCagni. Executive producer T.D. Jakes. Executive producer Sean Robinson. Executive producer Timothy O. Johnson. Stacey Mandelberg. Executive producer Derek Williams. Produced by Naveed Sufi. Television story by Wooey's Houston Jibo and Adrienne Carter. Teleplay by Wooey's Houston Jibo and Adrienne Carter and Monique N. Matthews. Based on the book by Victoria Christopher Murray. Directed by Troy Scott. Stunt coordinator Chad Sain. Zuri stunt double Kia Stewart. Co-executive producer Ngozi Paul. Associate producers Thomas Stanford, Garrett Van Dusen, Tim Spence, Troy Scott. Production manager Garrett Van Dusen. Set decorator Anna Shearing. Key hairstylist Alicia Chowan. Key makeup artist Jessica Kyum. Costume designer O'Neill Drummond. Production sound mixer Brett Sorter. Boom operator Alan Z. Lin Yang. Script supervisor Samantha Sumingut. Production coordinator Jeff Demeray. Post-production supervisor Tim Spence. Post-production coordinator Jamie Lamb. Sound facilities provided by Maverick Post Group. Supervising sound editor Gregor Phillips. Logos UBCP DGC, with the participation of the Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit Canada, with the participation of the Province of British Columbia Film Incentive BC. Logo Creative BC. This picture is a work of fiction. The characters and events depicted in this motion picture are fictional. Any similarities to actual persons, whether living or dead, is purely coincidental. 2022 Greed Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. In association with DNA Media, TDJ Entertainment Productions. Logo, Johnson Production Group.